This is James Murray on behalf of Marcia McMahon, host of Peaceful Planet, inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and Archangels with the intention of lifting you up into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? Then tune in to Peaceful Planet every other Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central on BBS Radio Station 1. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound works like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music. Do you want to accelerate your spiritual purpose? If so, then sign up for a psychic reading, Reiki healing, or an angel class with spiritual teacher Marcia McMahon. Just visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com for more information. You'll also find divinely inspired channel artwork from Princess Diana, John Lennon, and Archangel Michael. Don't forget to check out Marcia's latest release, available on Amazon.com, entitled Notes from John, Message from Across the Universe, featuring the messages of the late John Lennon and inspired lyrics to the songs of the Half-Beats. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you on the Peaceful Planet Show every other Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio Station 1.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Peaceful Planet. We have a wonderful guest and a wonderful show planned for you, and that was the voice of our James Murray, who's creating this wonderful music, and the show is titled The Peaceful Planet, and you were listening to the song that James's father, Robert Murray, wrote, titled The Peaceful Planet, which was the first song that I wrote the lyrics to back in 2005, when I was first connecting to Robert and James and the late, great John Lennon. So it's inspired from the Half-Beats, but among them there are others, and equally inspired greats that we have from the other side that help to create an atmosphere of peace and love and joy. So we wish you a very pleasant evening, and we are going to really enjoy the show tonight. This evening, we will be bringing forth and featuring presidents from the past in line with the thinking about the presidential inauguration, and also the giving tribute to great presidents such as Abraham Lincoln, who graced us with their presence and their abundance and their commitment to freedom, liberty, and justice for all. And among them this evening, we will hear from the great liberator, Lincoln, through myself, and then we will hear from James Murray, son of the late Robert Murray, and a.k.a. the whole entire Murray clan is here, both spirit side and with James, and we're so glad to have him, and he's going to bring a message through from John Kennedy Jr., who is the senior editor of the Stars Still Shine magazine, and James is working and we'll be interviewing through John Kennedy, the late FDR. So I'm anxious to hear that message. And he will also be featuring a message called The United Nations of Heaven. So I've had the pleasure of knowing both Robert Murray and James since 2002, and we work in corollary fields in terms of channeling. And if you're just new to our show, channeling is connecting with the afterlife, the other side, and these great spirits stepped forth through me, and they stepped forth through James and Robert Murray, and we seem to be working in tandem with Princess Diana and John Lennon, all the greats on the other side that seem to have represented forward movement for mankind, shall we say, to put it mildly. So we were very honored when James has allowed us to use the inspired music of the Half Beats, John and George, and then, of course, Michael in the band, and to have James in person because he's continuing the great work of the late, great Robert Murray on The Stars Still Shine. And I want to make a few statements on the eve of Martin Luther King Day, which is coming up Monday, and then, of course, the inauguration, which is later in the week, and to comment on the need for peaceful dissent if you are planning to assemble in Washington. And I did see some dissent, you know, peaceful demonstrations that were held just today at the Washington Monument, and to say that we stand with those people in affirming the great mission of Martin Luther King and also, you know, the right to peacefully dissent. And I want to say that I'm bringing forth an intuition that was given to me by Princess Diana, and because we have James on tonight, I'm not going to read her entire message, but she was telling me that if you're going and planning to demonstrate at the inauguration, or if you're demonstrating on Martin Luther King Day, to make sure that, of course, it's peaceful and nonviolent, and that our rights and freedoms as a democracy may be tested with this inauguration. Now, that being said, I don't want to put out any negative thoughts or vibes, but I would encourage everyone in our listening audience, particularly, into peaceful demonstration and nonviolence, and that's what you're being called to do. And also, have your priorities and friends organized so that if something were to break out, you would have a plan of action to avoid any kind of harm or any kind of violence. Just step out, step back, and get away from it if that be the case. Because I was feeling a little bit of a pull from Princess Diana, shall we say, to just put this out in a good way and to keep it in the great American tradition of peaceful assembly and the right of the people to peacefully assemble without threats. So this evening, we're honored to hear from James Murray again. He was on our first show, and he's providing all the music, and he is an illustrator and an artist like myself, and he did a lot of the writing and editing for Bob Murray while he was on the Earth Plane, and now he hears from Bob Murray from the spirit side, and it's really wonderful to feature John Kennedy Jr., the writer for the e-zine of The Stars Still Shine, in the upstairs studio. And I'm sure Robert Murray, as I call out his name tonight, is looking on with great pride as his son assumes the new mantle of leadership in the Murray clan and continues with his great writing from the other side called The Stars Still Shine e-magazine. The e-magazine is available at thestarsstillshine.com. And I also want to mention, before we bring in James with his work and also my message with Abraham Lincoln, I have the new book, Princess Diana's Message of Peace, An Extraordinary Message of Peace for Our Current World. It's almost ready to go, and I'd like to put out a special thank you to Dorothy Mercer for her selfless service in helping with the publication of the second edition of Princess Diana's Message of Peace. These messages were assembled and channeled in when I first began working with Diana in 2001, and it's a record of my channelings from 2001 through 2003 when the book was published. And Dorothy Mercer is a true angel and a gifted author, editor, and a prolific writer, and she's an amazing lady. She's just really super talented, and she's labored tireless hours in helping me. And I would say that if you're looking for a publisher or somebody to consult with in creating a book, you should really look her up for her great mystery series and adventure series at www.mercerpublications.com, books, bargains, and more. And then I want to say also that Princess Diana's Message of Peace contains many messages of warning not to go into Iraq. And it's a summary of my work where I contacted the top diplomats in America, including presidents, And it's my conversations with Diana that were somewhat influential, but not as totally influential as she would have hoped, to not encourage them to go in on Iraq, but rather to create the Palestinian state. So it will be coming to Amazon soon, and you can, you know, sign up for my newsletter at dianaspeakstotheworld.com or email me at Marcia Dye, M-A-R-C-I-A, like Marcia, D-I, at, or Marcia Dye 2002 at yahoo.com. So I would like to welcome then James Murray to our program. And how are you doing up in Canada this evening? How is the weather, James?
We're doing fine. It's a little bit cold, but then we've had some sunny weather today, so it's been rather nice.
Well, that's cheery. We've been in the midst of an ice storm since yesterday that's crossing the Midwest, and as you know, I'm in mid-central Illinois, out in corn and bean land near Springfield, Illinois, and so it's been a bit challenging, and I haven't been out of the house for quite some time, and we're thinking about doing a little bit of traveling south, but we have to wait for the ice storm to go away, and it's supposedly not going to be gone until Monday sometime. But it's a great time to be connecting on radio with you. So, firstly, I'd like to bring through my message from Abraham Lincoln, and I would like you to take the floor and share your wonderful messages with us, and we will go into everything that you wanted to share. You'll have plenty of time tonight, and then we will also feature some of the great music that you're creating. So the first message and the only message I have this evening is one that I channeled, and I want to say that this message was channeled in the context of going downtown Springfield to see the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's funeral procession that was marched through Springfield. And it was a major international event covered on the news. And when I stood in the House of Representatives in Springfield, Illinois, I received a message from the late Abraham Lincoln, who I'm always channeling. And he is a spirit guide of a close family relative of mine. So I've connected to him for years, but this was a particularly powerful message. But when he refers to the House of Representatives in his message, he is only speaking of the decor of the House of Representatives of the State House in Illinois. He is not speaking of the House of Representatives in our current capital, and he is not putting down anything. So before I read the message, I wanted to clarify that because it's a wonderful, uplifting message from Abraham Lincoln, no less. This was channeled in 2015, received on April the 30th, while attending the commemoration of the 150th anniversary of his funeral procession through Springfield, Illinois. And here he begins to speak. I, Abraham Lincoln, sacrificed my life for the cause of the Union and the cause of the Negro. I agree that this particular House of Representatives lacks all decorum befitting my reputation as the great liberator. That being said, I have never been a fussy person for decorum. It appears today in your society as if persons of color, as you say now, have been just as maltreated as they were in my time. And I say the word appears because the president that occupies the current White House now would never have done this had I not served in this way and paved the way for your great president, Barack Obama. Barack Obama and myself belong to the same soul family, and as well, I work with Master Saint Germain, who is overlighting the liberation and freedom for mankind everywhere, just not in the United States. I also, like your president, I am a soul aspect, but not the same entity. I am not he, and I retain my own fond remembrances of Springfield, Illinois, and all that I accomplished in the House of Representatives for some 20 years during my Earth sojourn. As the great emancipator and great liberator, I still watch over your country with great care and concern. I influence the thoughts of your statesmen your representatives, and of course, your president. I look forward to the day when all shall be free, and I am ever your humble servant, Abraham Lincoln. So, what a wonderful, powerful message to open the show, and I'm sure, James, that you have equally wonderful messages from John Kennedy Jr. And if you can, tell us a little bit how you got to know John Kennedy, or your father got to know him, and now you're working with him. Give us a little background, and welcome to the show once again.
Yeah, well, thank you for Marcia, for having me on the show.
Always a great honor, James.
Yeah, thank you. My father began communicating with John at the time of his crossing in Carolyn, and that's really how the communication started. And he was there to help him and Carolyn, and to help them to adjust to their life on the other side. And
heard this part of the story. Wonderful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And during that time, he took an interest in continuing to write, and he thought it'd be a good idea. We thought it'd be a good idea for him to contribute to our magazine and to our website.
And absolutely.
And that's really essentially how how it all started, with our connection with John, and it's been going on ever since, and it's been quite amazing.
I would say that I would second that statement, because I don't know how many issues you've produced of The Star Still Shines, but it must be in the hundreds now for your e-zine, isn't it, James?
He's contributed close to probably 100 articles, and I think, I would say that would be that many, and he's been one of our contributors that has been, I guess he's been in many of the magazine issues, so it's been quite an honor to have him writing for us.
I should say, I've heard from him once, and he came in to me he came to tell me that he would have published me in the magazine had he known about me, but I, at that time, was not working with Princess Diana yet. She hadn't crossed over. He crossed over slightly before she did, I think. I'm not remembering exactly. But it does sound like a likely situation that your father would be involved in helping them to cross, and he connects with very many famous people on the other side, as I do. So we have all that common ground together. And then, of course, I worked collaboratively with you and your father. And I was looking back over the Princess Diana's Message of Peace editing light last night, and found another message from you in the email from 2002. So we've been working together casually and a little bit collaboratively for a long, long time, James, with Clan Murray here. So it's great. I can feel your father's vibration overlighting the program as we speak as well. So what did you want to bring forth from John Jr. this evening?
I have his message. I don't know. I could start with the first message, which would provide a background on the location where John meets the president, President Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I could start with the message about the UN.
Please
like do.
Please do, okay. James. Feel free.
Okay. Well, this is a message that I received from my father back in February of 2016, and I'll start reading it. Okay, so good evening. I was invited to a special meeting with many dignitaries, but none want to call themselves VIPs. They all band together in hopes of making a world of good on the earth plane. Diana, Princess Diana, as you know her, attends the dignitaries' meetings but she was not able to commit to this latest one. She asked me to attend in her place. I said I would with honor, so I went this afternoon. Their meetings are held in a large one-story building just outside the child care center. Location is not an issue. Attendees have deep concerns for matters on Earth, particularly international peace and well-being for the planet. They call themselves the UN of Heaven. I sat around a very large round table with many, including those who were once leaders of several nations. Their seating is similar to the UN Security Council. I will name drop some former U.S. presidents in attendance: Reagan, Nixon, Ford, F.D. Roosevelt, and Eisenhower. Also in attendance were a few Canadian prime ministers, Lester B. Pearson and Pierre Elliott Trudeau, and other leaders such as South African President Nelson Mandela. Mahatma Gandhi and many prominent women, including Eleanor Roosevelt, Princess Grace Kelly, and Margaret Thatcher, made the most prominent contributions to the conversations. I didn't speak, but I listened to many discussions. Nothing was resolved nor concluded, but they said it's important that ones on the Earth side listen carefully to Mother Earth. As it is, it's not too late to change the way we live. Even small gestures and acts are important. Do what you can to make life better for others and for the future. They kept mentioning to pass on this information to those we know on Earth. They know I am able to send their words. Thank you for listening. Love from Mother Earth and Bob.
Wow.
And that's the first message. And do you want me to... we have time for the second one?
Yes, I would like to discuss it a little bit. So this is very corollary to another lady that I was thinking of bringing on air soon. Her name is Barbara Wiss, and she works with a group of 12, dignitaries, former political leaders, and so on, among which Princess Diana was, among them at one time. And she channels Einstein. But nonetheless, this is very interesting that you have this collective of both American presidents and prime ministers of Canada and Margaret Thatcher and all those that stood for democracy, including Reagan, and including, I'm interested to hear Nixon, because I never thought Nixon amounted to much. But, you know, obviously he was concerned about world affairs here. He wouldn't have been on the committee. And then nothing was resolved. It does sound like the United Nations. So was this the United Nations message, or was this the interview that we were going to talk about with President FDR? I take it it's the United Nations of Heaven.
Oh, this is a separate one. This is I thought it would be good to read this one first, and then we'd get it would be a background for the
absolutely. So
FDR.
So that was actually, was that John Kennedy who attended the meeting in place of Princess Diana, or was that your father, Bob?
That was my father, Bob Murray.
That was your father. Yeah, so he's right up there with all the greats. Then he's up there with the presidents and whatnot, you know. Bob Murray was a peace worker in his life, too, as I am. And work does go on for the sake of the world's children. That's what Diana has been pressing so many times in her messages, and I have many thousands of messages from Diana. I couldn't possibly compile all of them into a book, but it's very interesting that she couldn't attend, and that there were others, you know, at that meeting that all care, and it's so fascinating to, again, hear from your father. So that was very heartwarming and very, very good to know that others of greatness on the other side are still assembling and trying to brainstorm how to save the planet. So that's very interesting, and thank you for sharing that. So go forth with whatever else you were wanting to share this evening. And before you do, I just want to put out that we have a call-in number. If you'd like to ask James or I a question, but we're not taking call-ins for readings this evening. But the number, if you have a question for myself or James, is 888-627-6008, and you're welcome to call during the pause times. In other words, when James isn't reading or when I'm not reading, etc. So we welcome your calls. All right, so go ahead and bring forth the next message that you were planning, James.
Okay, this is a message from John Kennedy Jr. that I channeled. Actually, I channeled it just yesterday, but John had mentioned it. It was something that he recorded over on the other side in November, shortly after the election.
Wonderful.
November 14th.
I would very much like to hear that. That's so thrilling to know that you are recording his words now, just like your father. You're the protege, and you're really right up there. Great work. I'm very thrilled to hear it. So let's see what he has to say.
Okay. I met former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt one day outside the hall that is used regularly for meetings by the many former world leaders and advocates. They all meet to discuss the world issues and how they can assist their fellow leaders and advocates who still reside on planet Earth. Here is our conversation. And I have John says, "Hello, Mr. Roosevelt. I am John Kennedy, Jr. I'm the son of President Kennedy." John and FDR shake hands. And then FDR says, "Well, it's an honor to meet the son. I have met your father. It's a pleasure, John. What can I do for you?" And then John says, "I'm very interested in knowing your thoughts on the outcome of the U.S. election and President-elect Donald Trump." And FDR says, "I haven't followed the election campaigns, but I have been briefed by some friends of mine who aided me during my years in political office. They actually gave me a book that they put together on the life of Mr. Trump. I must say that he has experienced a lot in his time. However, he will be very weak in his administration. One weakness is his lack of political experience. I am not saying he can't lean on his advisors, but not knowing the ropes of the American political structure is a serious concern. Another one is his ego and perhaps his selfishness. He will have a very difficult time overcoming these weaknesses, and that will get in the way of doing a proper and ethical job as president. I won't predict if he will survive his mandate, but that will be left up to his fellow Republicans. I wish him good luck, but he will need much of it." And then John says, "A very interesting analysis. Would you mind if your words are published in a magazine back on Earth?" And FDR says, "I don't mind. I don't know if readers will believe these words are from me, but no, I don't mind. I am not sure it's an analysis. I think the American people have decided to give the man a chance, and they will ultimately have to let him do his job and hope he acts in their best interest." And John says, "Thank you, Mr. President." FDR concludes, says, "Thank you, John," and with a chuckle, "I hope I have not frightened the American people with my words." And that's it.
Yes, thank you, James, for that. I've been bringing through many messages from Princess Diana on the Trump presidency and her concerns about his ties to Russia for the last 3 months or so. Saint Germain and Princess Diana and Archangel Michael have all pointed out that he had ties to Putin financially, and it just came out on the news perhaps a couple days ago. And I was riveted because it proved out to be true. I suspected it for some time, and I think others did too. But be that it as it may, I think your comments with John Kennedy's interview of Franklin Delano Roosevelt do highlight some of his weaknesses, which are coming out. And many Americans are terrified of the consequences of his mixture with corporate world and business world and not knowing the ways of government and so on, like, denying the reports of the CIA and FBI about the the Russian hack, for instance, for so long. He seems to persist in his own delusion, and I think he felt that it was a personal threat that he really didn't win the election. But I think it's personally what Diana has pointed out is that it seems to create a very dangerous situation where if he's not listening to intelligence, something really bad could happen. And so that's one weakness, and I think I would have to agree that the ego part of him is really something, too. And I don't want to be critical of the man because, you know, I don't want to put out any more fear. People are in fear already. But I think, as Princess Diana said here, and let me see if I can reference her message, your democracy and its underlying constitution, like ours in Britain, cannot be undermined by the darker forces of Trump and foolishness, and of course, unless the people allow it to happen in the first case. In this case, they did opt for the wrong candidate, and there was a considerable amount of hacking. And then she goes on to say, while he is in office, it will be a dangerous time because he's not paying attention, and he's not the wheel in the possession of his full faculties. We're hoping that he'll listen to the intelligence agencies who will be able to determine who's about to cause trouble for the United States, and so on. So I don't want to go into her message because it's a little bit fearful, but she says she wants to warn Americans. She says here, I do want to warn Americans that are planning to demonstrate at the inaugural to be particularly careful and work in groups and to have an action plan for those demonstrators. So it's likely there will be a good deal of revolt, and you don't want to be caught in any crowd violence. For the most part, I think it will be peaceful, but I think they will have extra police forces there, and I don't trust Donald Trump not to call those out on the American people. He should not do such an outrageous criminal thing. I think it would be tragic for the nation. So these are her comments, and it's corollary to what I got. And I had not initially intended to read her message, but since it came up into the conversation, I couldn't resist, as I usually do. Shall we pause for a little musical break and then come back to your longer message about the United Nations of Heaven? And we'll play The Stars Still Shine in honor of James Murray as a guest this evening, if we have that file. And welcome back. You were listening to The Stars Still Shine, as composed by the late Robert Murray. And we have James Murray, a medium, and his son joining us this evening. And we were just discussing the message from John Kennedy Jr. and his interview with the late John Kennedy Jr. And he did an interview with President FDR. And also, we covered the United Nations of Heaven, and then we covered excerpts of my messages from Princess Diana on the potentials in the Trump presidency. And we will, James has brought forth an amazing amount of wonderful material over the years, and I really have to compliment you on your interviewing ability with John Kennedy. And so I take it that John Kennedy is still the chief editor of the Star Still Shine e-zine, along with Carolyn Bessette being another contributor and editor. Is that still the case, James?
Yeah, she's Carolyn's been the I guess you could call her the managing editor. She's always helped us with deciding what would be appropriate to have in the magazine. And although I guess she would say she's had a bit of a holiday, but she's had some time away since we've taken some time away from producing the magazine. So she said she's had taken some time away, but she's ready to go.
She does volunteer with children in the library over there, doesn't she?
Yes, she does still volunteer and works with the children. Yes.
So, you know, the great thing that I love about your work, and I will put out the number for callers if you'd like to speak with James or me, it is 888-627-6008, or press station 1 if you'd like to call in on, and you're listening on your iPhone. So the great thing about what I've learned with working with your father and you over the years is that, like I learned from my work with Princess Diana, is that for the great souls that were world leaders, it seems that their work continues on through various especially selected channelers that are keen to be able to take down the dictation as mediums and then relay it in a powerful way and create books and e-zines and articles and help to continue their journeys and their purposes. And unfortunately, in the case of John Jr., he was taken sadly from us at a very young age. And the day that he died, I remember speaking to my father, and I had seen it earlier on the news where they were conducting a search party out with his, you know, plane that had gone down near Martha's Vineyard sometime in the late 90s. And I was so grieved to see that, because he would have made a very fine president. And there's a lot of stuff out there on YouTube about conspiracy theories that he was intentionally taken out so that others could fill the role of presidency. And, of course, the assassination of his father, the 35th president, John F. Kennedy, has been debated for eons now. And I think your father hit it right on the nail when he did the interview with John Kennedy in the e-zine many years ago, when he asked about what really happened with his assassination. And I remember reading the article, but I don't remember the contents of the article, except to say that it was an American conspiracy, and it was hatched by three American families, but he couldn't go into the details because that would endanger him as a writer. And I do recall that. But did you ever get anything, or did your father ever get anything about the death of John Kennedy Jr., and whether it was an accident, and did he channel anything? Because I did get a channel from him, but I'm just asking you, James.
Did my father? I do not recall that he that there was a message about that from John.
Well,
Jr.
I was curious because I've seen these accusations and documentaries that piece together bits and pieces from here, there, and everywhere, claiming that, various people in the United States, high-ranking people that occupied the office of president, actually had him done in. And without giving any names, of course. The documentaries were quite convincing, but when I confronted and asked John Jr., he came to me. In fact, I didn't go to him. He actually came to me to tell me that he loved my work with Princess Diana and all that I was doing, and thanked me for my service to the United States. And I was like, whoa, you know, first of all, I couldn't believe it. It was him. But then I asked him about his death and whether he thought it was just an accident or whether he thought it was conspiracy to kill him and take out a possible presidency. And he said that it was not intentional, and that he felt that it was a genuine accident, and that he was tragically lost in the fog, and even though he was an expert pilot, he did go down. So I thought I'd share that with you, and I think I remember reading something of the same from the work of your fine e-zine over the years, you know. So tell us about some of the other authors that are regular writers for the e-zine. I know your father's writing for the e-zine. He's your primary guide that's writing the pen, so to speak, through the other side. I've had the actual pleasure of working with your father on the other side. He taught me how to journey. So is that the way you work with your father? And you could explain of any of the other interesting characters that are writing from the other side and how you work with your father. I'm sure our audience would like to hear it.
My father has it arranged that continues to communicate.
Speak up just a bit. I'm having a little trouble.
Sorry,
Maybe it's the phone.
What my father does is he continues to visit or communicate with the ones who contributed, like there's some well-known writers and some that are not well-known. Same thing with my...
Twain was one of the contributors.
Yeah, Mark Twain, like say Mark Twain, he's what he does is Mark Twain would bring him a story. It could be a short story. It could be, I guess he's given me a few short stories. And then in the midst of writing, I finished one, and I have a second one that my father has collected from Mark Twain. My father finds a way to... I guess he could read them off to me, and sometimes he said, all I have to do is it's there on his computer, and he said it'll come to me, and I just have to sit down and either dictate I have a way of dictating onto the computer through voice, and it'll type out the words, or I can sit down and type it up, and so I have several ways that I can bring to my father's it's not his. Well, I guess they're his stories, but the ones that he collects from, say Mark Twain and other people.
Yeah. So you're channeling in the same way that I do. I started out with I don't go into, you know, trance or anything like that. I'm a fully conscious channel, and I take Diana's dictation. Sometimes when I read her words, it will be through voice, and I can feel her loving vibration and her essence, which is so much the Queen's English and so different from the way that I speak. It's unmistakable. But I want to say that most of the time when I'm working like that, it's the same way. I used to do a lot of typing, and then my right hand is disabled now, and I have to use Dragon Speak. And I'm still working as a writer and still publishing, but it's quite a challenge because the Dragon Speak does not type what I'm saying. In fact, it sometimes types dirty words and everything else. It's just slightly humorous, but it's very annoying because I find myself going over and over. Even emails I have to type with Dragon. And, you know, in my correspondence with people, you have to be clear, and it's quite a challenge to do the voiceover. Have you found that to be the truth, too?
Yes, because it's you unless you speak very clearly on... throughout your whole dictation, then you got to expect that there'll be some words that are surprises, and sometimes some of the surprises are like, oh, that's actually different from what I said, but it actually makes sense. Sometimes.
I've very seldom had Dragon Speak actually been able to type out a full sentence that was exactly what I said, and I'm not putting down the product, but it doesn't interface with Mac that well, and one of your friends wrote me and told me that I could use the Safari browser and how to get into some program, and he lent me his hand, but I never really explored that option because I don't use Safari as my browser. I generally use Firefox, but it is not a full voice channel, but your father is very, very gifted. And tell us about some of the books that he's written in the past and that you've illustrated, and name them off, and let us know a little bit about the books, too.
Yeah, well, his the two books that were the first two that he wrote are The Stars So Shine, An Afterlife Journey, and then there's a sequel to that, The Stars So Shine, Michael's Afterlife Journey Continues, Book 2. These two books are based on the communication that he had with my brother-in-law, who passed away in 1997. And they and at the same
that
time,
was Michael.
He was my brother-in-law Michael. And in those books, I have included or contributed dream drawings that I did during the time that he was writing some of the messages. I guess during the beginning of the time he started writing the messages that for the book that we decided to put into the book. And yeah, the first book has an album at the back of the dream drawings, and I also have
Those were really nice. I love the drawing that you did for the book two. Also, I bought book one and book two. And how do the listeners get a hold of your book, James?
The best way to get it is through our website. You can and you can buy that through. If you go to thestarsstillshine.com, and you can order it through PayPal, or you can send a check. Those are two ways.
All right. So that's all on the website.
Yeah, on the website.
So
yeah.
You know, I have to say that I really loved your father's sense of adventure, and every time I open the Star Still Shine e-zine, or e-zine, as you care to pronounce it, either way. It's delivered monthly in the email, and it's a long series of interviews with world greats like Mark Twain and John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessett Kennedy and some of the other famous people that he channels. He channels so many famous people, and your father would have gone Hollywood had he been in Hollywood. He would have been really, really popular. He's attracted followers from all over the world with this great talent for music as well. And you're continuing the tradition of the music, are you not, with your dad?
Yeah, actually, he's got his computer. I still haven't. It's still on his desk here, and it's still. I do put it on, and when I do put it on, I'm surprised that his music program is able to. Help me generate more tunes, and some of them are quite amazing. That what come through, and
I would have to
give
say
credit
that
to the computer over here.
You know, he told me it was the band in the box program, but he told me years ago that George would just tell him what buttons to hit. George Harrison, that is. So we're definitely not going to close the program without featuring another one of Murray's great songs from the other side. We're not about to close it just yet, but we will be featuring another really great song, and I'm looking at the list right now. But I have to say, in regard to your book, that it was an interesting journey because heaven is very much real to these people, and it is a higher dimensional frequency place. It's between the fourth and the fifth dimension, and your father lives down the meadow from Princess Diana. She has her own castle, and he has a wonderful house over there that you illustrated. And after I talked to you on the first phone call that we did the interview in back in August, I had a chat with your father, and he showed me how he likes to travel to the other side, and he actually taught me to channel in a different way. I think this may sound familiar, if I may share that with you, James.
Sure, go ahead, yes.
So he said that I was to imagine that I was going to be still connected to my silver cord, but that I was to actually travel out and imagine that I was going over to where he lives on the other side. And as I did this exercise with him, I saw that I was in winter. It was about last year at this time when I traveled over, maybe earlier in this fall, I have to say that. But in any case, it was a scene where I was over there. It was cold, and he had the fire burning, and he actually came to the door, and I could see the two-story house, and it was kind of colonial, as you had drawn it. And then I entered into his living room, which is much like mine, and here on Earth, and he had a very warm fire and a couple of dogs that were curled around him. And he asked me if I would like a glass of wine, and I said, yes, I would. I don't normally drink on the Earth plane, but I would enjoy a glass of wine. And then he explained to give me some advice, and he had all these antiques and collectibles over there on the other side that he showed me, and they were like writing implements that he collected. Does that sound anything like your father when you make your visits over to the other side with him?
Quite often I end up find myself in his office, his library office, and usually he has something to show me there.
That's where I was too.
Yeah.
So yes, on that note, then we're going to close out with The Long Road to Nepal, as inspired by George, and I want to thank you. We're at the end of the show already, James, and I want to thank you for your fine work and refer our listeners to The Stars Still Shine. I'm sorry we had to cut it short, but I promised the audience we'd let them listen to the last song of the evening. Thank you so much for joining us and your contributions, and I want to encourage our listeners to tune in to The Stars Still Shine and listen to the great music and subscribe to the e-zine. Buy the book. It's a wonderful trip through heaven. Life is never ending, and so we have to close out for tonight, and we wish you all peace and love on the peaceful planet.